You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm asking you a question. If you could go back to the past with the knowledge that you have right now, would you do it? Seriously, think about it. I don't know about you, but I have pondered this many times. If you could have the knowledge and the wisdom that you have right now, and you could go back in time, let's just say to start over again as a freshman in high school, would you do it? And I know some of you are like, there's no way I would go back. I've done all this. I don't want to go back and do it. But I know some of you are thinking about it right now. If you could go back with the knowledge you have, and it wouldn't be based on wasted youth, and you could couple your youth with wisdom, would you do it? On tonight's show, I'm going to be talking about that, about really thinking through this process, acknowledging why we think this or ponder this or are interested in this as a person, as a human being, but also thinking about the things that you would leave behind, thinking about the changes that would be made, because anytime we go back to the past or have the ability to go back to the past, right, you change the future, and really focusing on what we could do now to make changes in our life. But, you know, it's interesting when you think about that, because I think often a lot of us think, you know, what if you could go back and right the wrongs in your past? What if you could go back, turn back the hands of time? And I know most people listening to my show, you've thought about things, you're thought-provoking when it comes to certain subject matters, and there's certain things that you're proud of, there's certain things you've dealt with and overcome, but there's certain things that you wish you could have changed. You know, whether it was a relationship that you ended up being in that kind of maybe took you off target from your passion, from your future, from what you needed to do. Perhaps it was not following with that relationship and going a different direction and looking back and wondering, what if? You know, maybe it was, you know, jumping out of school to take on a career or vice versa. And those can always be very interesting situations because we look at other people and we make judgment calls on our life based on their successes. It's just the way it is. I mean, think about it. How many little boys, you know, they grow up to be men, looked at Tiger Woods back in the day and said, man, I wish I played golf like that. I could have had the world in my hands. Top golf player in the world. And it's interesting when you look at those certain things, how it can be disruptive to our current lifestyle. What I mean by disruptive is we begin to look at other people's lives and kind of take the wind out of our sail when it comes to our own life, if that makes sense. And we do that because we see other people as doing more than us or accomplishing more than us or having more than us or being more aware. And like with Tiger Woods, you know, it wasn't, I think we believe that, you know, he was so wise as a youth and he had all that wisdom and he was an incredible athlete. But, you know, now that we look at his life, you know, God bless him, we realize, well, maybe he wasn't really that wise, but he had a father that pushed him and he had a talent for golf. And it's interesting because you look at almost every subject matter, every person on the planet that looks like they have it together when they're in their youth. And, you know, later on down the road, we realize, well, for the most part, they didn't. And I think there's really something to be said about wasted youth. I think it's an interesting dichotomy because I believe that to some degree, everybody has to go through it in one way or another. And I know some of you might say, oh, Ashley, there's singers, opera singers that are 8 years old that are bypassing everybody. They're the most brilliant, talented kids. I mean, they're not having to deal with this. But, you know, they probably will. I don't know if we can actually detour from that. I think for some reason, life is set up that way. No matter how it looks like from the outside, no matter the money, the fame, the power, none of that. No matter that, everybody's still got to go through a learning curve. And that learning curve, for some, can be a couple of years. And for others, it can be a lifetime. And you have friends, and I have friends that we love dearly, but they have been learning, and whether they've been really learning or they've been just going through it, it's like we look at it and we go, my God, we love them, but it's something all the time. It's something all the time. And whether it's not taking responsibility, whether it's just not, you know, allowing them to actually take control of their life, I think that's part of it. And I think oftentimes, you know, we kind of judge ourselves based on different things. We judge ourselves based on the most talented person in the industry that we do, and in the same type of career that we are in. We judge ourselves based on that most talented, most financially successful, most powerful person. And then we judge ourselves against the friend of ours that just can't keep it together. And we go, well, you know, at least I'm doing better than them, you know. But man, I'm still not at that level of so-and-so. I mean, they got it all together. And we don't really see that our life journey is an independent journey that has to be lived out independently. But in the process, it can be quite interesting. I find it interesting because life is so interesting with all these different diverse sets of skill sets, lifetime changes, ages, requirements from those ages. Because wouldn't it be awesome to like come out of the womb being a genius and know what's going on and be able to understand and have that wisdom and know that when you got to middle school, you're going to be a little gangly, you're going to stand out in a crowd, maybe not in a good way, and how to just deal with that. You know, how to accept that and allow that to be. How to know that you don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to do what the crowd does. You don't have to try to fit in. That it's not going to matter. That later on down the road, nobody's going to care if you fit in middle school or not. Nobody is going to care. But at the time, it seems so important. Why can't they like me? Why can't I just fit in? You know, why don't the cool kids want to sit with me at lunch? And you go home and you cry. You go home and you get upset, or maybe you get made fun of. You know, and it's so hard because it is overwhelming. But at the time, it seems like such a big deal. Had we just had some wisdom and some knowledge, we would know that this too shall pass. But we don't know that. We have no idea. And it's a very interesting scenario how all this comes to play and how most of us live this type of life at different age points in our life. And how a lot of us are unified in the fact that if we could have just had wisdom and go back to the past and reset it, being wise of knowledge and understanding, that this whole thing could be very different. I know if I look back and think about going back to high school, think about going back to high school, your freshman year, and the changes that you would make if you knew what you know now. Oh my God. Okay, besides the fact that you'd be playing the lottery, besides the fact you could have, you know, invented Apple, besides the fact, you know, all these things that were invented, I mean, you could come out with Uber now. Besides all that, winning the lottery, playing the odds, all that stuff, think about the other stuff. Think about going to school. Think about waking up every morning and going, none of this crap matters. As long as I get decent grades, I'll get into college. Or for some of you, as long as I work really hard while I'm in high school and make the money I need, I can open up my company right after high school and start working and make a bunch of money and provide and have a great family and do all this stuff and invest in real estate and have all this together. And later on down the road, if I want to go to college, great. That's fine. It's the icing on the cake. I mean, think about your parents waking you up in the morning to go to school. Okay, for my house, my mom was an assistant principal at the high school I went to, for God's sakes. I know. I mean, come on. Tough. So it was really tough for me. I mean, come on. The assistant principal? Yeah, you had nothing as hard as I did. Because you had kids that love my mom and kids that absolutely hated my mom. So, because she was the disciplinarian. I mean, you know, when you're doing something wrong and you get in trouble, you don't like the person that, you know, gets you in trouble or that, you know, puts the law down. You can't stand it because, you know, that's the way it is. But it's very interesting life. If I would have known now, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have woken up every morning with a smile on my face. Nothing that happened in school would matter. I would do my grades and do really well, but I would know that all the stuff that I care so much about and was worried about has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I would have continued to debate, for sure. I think I would have definitely changed. I would have made sure my grades were even better, and I would have gotten into school formally and actually continued on my debate run. I was really good, really good. And I would have realized a lot of things in life. My life would have been interesting. Would have been very interesting. But the problem is would you be able to hold on to the stuff that you have now? Everything's got a give and take. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? That's what they say. I wonder if you can, though. I wonder. It's kind of like the idea of having a rose with no thorns. And I think there are roses with no thorns. But I'll look into that here on the break. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, BERGES.com. Check out the latest blogs and the radio shows. Check out Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking about going back in time. If you could go back in time with the knowledge you have right now, with the wisdom you have right now, not dealing with wasted youth, would you do it? Think about going back to your freshman year of high school, maybe even your senior year, whatever you want to pick, and redoing, making right all the wrongs, changing your future forever, based on the wisdom you have right now, if you could do it, would you? Interesting, huh? Literally. If you made the decision right now to do it, you would be taken back to high school with the wisdom of everything you have now and redo it. And I find that very interesting. Because even if that is possible, and you could go back in time, righting the wrongs, making the changes, doing everything that you want to do, all that stuff in between, you would still have to let certain things go, and you would still let certain things have to fall by the wayside, unfortunately. Right before the break, I was talking about roses, how roses have thorns, and how we have to, in this situation, we'd have to let go of something in our life, which is true. But you know what? I did find out when I was on the break that there are some roses that have no thorns. Very interesting. There's an Irene Marie miniature rose, a Cinderella miniature rose, an Amadeus thornless rambler rose, and the list goes on. So there indeed are roses. Some of them are miniature. There are roses that have no thorns. So that's an interesting concept in its own. But think about it. If you went back, you could right those wrongs. And I think a lot of times we get sad about wasted youth, the time that we seem to have wasted, falling for the problems as a kid, being overwhelmed by the things that we feel we didn't do right, being overwhelmed by those types of things and how upsetting that can be. Falling in the trap for things that that it was just the normal stuff, like, oh, we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or whatever it is that happens. It can be very, very painful. And those kind of things really do make you think. Trying to fit in school. Trying to fit in with the cool kids. You know, all those things that seem to be the end of the world right then, that if we would have just been, you know what, this too shall pass, our life may be very different. Maybe the things that we valued changed. And all the pain and suffering we could write. It's funny how when I talk to folks about this, their comment immediately is, I could own the world. I mean, besides the fact that you go back and bet on games that happen that you already know the results, and the fact that you could probably invent Apple and all the stuff in between and come up with Uber, you know, 20 years beforehand, all that is great stuff, but what can you really change in your life? And I find that very interesting because I find it a push and pull scenario, because there's definitely things in everybody's life that they want to change. You're not completely satisfied with everything you did. It's just the way it is. You can accept it, you can forgive it, but you're not over enthralled with every decision you made. You know, I mean, seriously. There are some decisions I look back at and go, what in the heck was I thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking. I was thinking with a 20-year-old brain. I was thinking with an 18-year-old brain. I was thinking with a 14-year-old brain. Yeah. The wisdom wasn't right there. It wasn't piping hot wisdom. It was, you know, it was being a kind of a young idiot. But I think a lot of times we look back and go, you know, if we could do that, that would be pretty awesome. And I think the reason why we think about this stuff is that we see kids nowadays, like our youth, that seem to have it all together. Or better yet, it seems like they're getting all the breaks. You know, like, I don't know about you, but it seems like nowadays there's more programs in school to help kids be more successful. Internship programs, other after-school programs that I didn't have. Things that would have helped me. Things that could have helped me yesterday. And I think we look at that stuff with kind of nostalgia, but kind of anger, because we're like, if we had those opportunities back when we were younger, I mean, there's a percentage chance that you would have taken it up, right? You would have taken up on that opportunity and it could have bettered your life. I mean, to have an internship with a company that's doing what you want to do, or to intern with somebody that you look up to, would be invaluable. There's no value you could put on it. It would be, you know, wow, how do you even put value on that? But we didn't have that when I was growing up. I didn't have that. Maybe you did, but I didn't. And I think we look at that with nostalgia and a little bit of, well, resentment. You know, because we've created this, we've worked really hard, and it seems that if we would have just been born 20 years later, 15 years later, well, things could have been a little easier. But are they? Or does everybody feel that? Does every single different age group think that way? Maybe. I don't know. You know, I want to talk about now, if you did get to go and there was an opportunity and there's a time travel spaceship here at the studio and I'm allowing 30 people to get on board with me. Okay. Have you thought about what you'd be leaving behind? Have you thought about what would change? Because this is pretty deep. Because I know that some of us would like to right the wrongs. And I know that some of the wrongs might have led you down a primrose path in your life that you've had to work on to get right for a long time. But would doing that outweigh the possibility of losing what you have? And for some of you, I'm talking about your children. Could you let go of your children? Because if you went back to the past, okay, and you made changes to the past, right? How do you know that any of this would actually come to pass? It's already happened. So how do you know that you would actually have these children? You would actually marry this person and have these kids? I mean, if you have kids, it doesn't matter how old they are. You've already gotten connected with them. You have gotten attached. And think about saying, well, you know what? I don't know. If you show up in my life again, great. Otherwise, it was great knowing you. Could you do that? And if you could, I would assume that your thought process would be like, she or he's going to come in this world no matter what. If I'm the parent or not, the spirit is going to come in the world, so it doesn't matter one way or another. I think that might be one side to think about. I think the other side would be like, there's no way I could leave. I mean, maybe my life wasn't perfect, and maybe I didn't make all the right choices, but I did have these great kids, and I wouldn't change anything for it. And what about your spouse? If you went back into time and made these changes, you might not have this spouse again. You might never meet. And if you do meet, the timing might be off. It might not work. So you could actually be ships in the night, never meet each other, never see each other. That person could have ended up going the other direction in their life and maybe not done so well. I mean, think about it. Would that hurt? Could. That's interesting. That's very interesting. On the other side, some of you might say, well, if it wasn't meant to be, it's not meant to be. And if it is meant to be, then we'll get together again in the later on down this lifetime. Okay. And some of you say, well, I got to put my needs on the back burner and I can't try to right these wrongs. And I need to be happy with what I have in my life. But some of you might say, you know what? These things that are wrong in my life are interesting. Are they necessarily wrong? Or did they actually make me who I am today? Did these things actually make me and mold me into who I am today? And does that put me on my individual path? On my individual way of living? And I find it interesting because you wonder, if you did it all over again, would the same things happen again, even if you changed some of history? Are things destined? Are they not destined? Is it all based on our choices? However, is there some destiny involved? Are our lives crossed in some way? Star-crossed, perhaps, right? Are there certain things that have to happen or certain things that we've already agreed upon before we entered on planet Earth? Are there things that we agreed upon that would take place in this lifetime? Interesting. And I know there's been several movies about this and all that stuff, and I get it. And I understand, like Back to the Future, right? That original movie when he goes back and his mom almost falls for him, you know, falls in love with him when she hits him with the car and all that stuff because he was changing the history. He was changing the past. But in the end, he rights the wrongs, but he knows what he has to do. He knows what he has to do. And in the end, his mom and dad get married. And the situation works out better than it was. But how much of it would really change? How much of it would stay the same? And because you know, would there be a sadness component, a depression component, based on having to make those changes or accepting this plight that would haunt you forever? Or would the coulda, shoulda, wouldas haunt you forevermore that you would need to get into the spaceship immediately to right the wrongs? And I find it very interesting because I think if you really think about this stuff, it really puts a lot of things into perspective in your life. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgsby, back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been asking the question, if you could go back in the past with the knowledge that you have now, would you do it? If you knew everything that you know now, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the lessons, all the hard knocks, if you could go back, do it again, would you? And I think many of you would say yes, heck yes. If I knew then what I know now, for God's sakes, and if I could go back to high school and do it all over again and college and everything else, my life would be completely different. And right before the break, I was asking, would it be? Would it be completely different? Are there certain things destined? Are there certain things that we agree to prior to coming on this planet that we've agreed to, either whether it's a child or a spouse or something that we're supposed to do, a purpose-driven life, something that we're supposed to accomplish and have done? Interesting. And so no matter what, even if you went back and changed the past, would it still come to pass? Very interesting stuff. But also, are you willing to leave some of the things that you might have to leave? Are you willing to let go of some of the people that you might have to let go? Would you be willing to leave your family behind, your kids, your spouse, your dog, your cat, the current career you have, the lifestyle that you have? And would you be doing this in hopes of a better life? Of hopes of righting wrongs? In hopes of creating more money? A better situation? And I find it interesting because you want to ask yourself, why would I go back? And if I ponder and honestly just talk about myself for just a few minutes, if I was to go back and right the wrongs, I would begin by not falling for, you know, the youth issues that we have, i.e., oh gosh, I want to fit in so bad. Oh gosh, if I could just hang out with the cool people all the time. And I was pretty cool. I wasn't totally like dorky or anything, but I wasn't a cheerleader. So I wasn't a cheerleader, and I didn't excel so much at a sport that I became like a girl jock or anything like that. So, and I was in debate, but I knew everybody. And so it was very interesting. But what I would go back is like being stressed out about the stupid stuff, about worrying if this was going to happen or that going to happen. I would have spent more time working on certain things. I would have definitely not gone off the rails at the end of my senior year and decided that I was burned out by debate. I would have continued to go that direction for sure, and I would have taken the debate scholarship. I would have done something to that level. I would have worked more into that skill set that I already had and just even made it more and more so. And I wouldn't have kind of gone off the rails on that because I understand why. Now, I was raised up in a very conservative household, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. But my dad was very strict. So, I mean, I'm talking about extremely strict. You know, like, you know, your curfew's at 9 o'clock and you're a senior in high school. So by the time I got out of high school, I was like, I'm going to go check out every nightclub, everything that I've never got to see. And so I really wish that I would have been able to know that it's not that big of a deal, that I have time, that there's years and years of my life that I can experience, and I don't need to experience it all in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I think that's something that I would have really changed. I also, when I got to college, I would have really worked at that point. I think I worked too much in high school. If I would have known kind of what college was about and understand the importance of that over high school, I would have kind of flip-flopped things a little bit. Sure, I would have had good grades, but I wouldn't have focused so hard in high school because I feel like when I got to college, I felt like a lot of people around me hadn't worked as hard as I had, you know, in high school. That they, you know, their parents had money and so they got to go to the school. And I kind of took that personally. And that was a little bit of an ego. But at the same time, I feel like I could change those things in my life if I went back. You know, on the other side, though, I might not meet my husband again. We might not get married. And he's somebody that is really important in my life. And, you know, we're also best friends, too. So I just don't know how that would work out. And that's something that really holds me back from getting into the spaceship here in the studio. You know, another thing is, you know, I have a really cool dog. And I love him. And that's another thing. And I've done some really great things in my life. And I'm very proud of certain things that I've done. I'm very proud of the work that I've given back to society. I'm proud of what I do with my clients every day in therapy and coaching sessions. I'm proud of being a part of major breakthroughs and changes that changes their lives forever and allows them to have a life that they've always dreamed of having. That's a big deal for me. Having this show, you know, for 5 years is a big deal. You know, could you go back and you come back in the future and do it all again? Yeah, I'm sure you could, but it's like there is always something you got to give up. And are you willing to give that up? And are you willing to trade out for it? And that's something to really think about. Because it's easy to kind of just jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, but, you know, think about all the stuff that you have done. And what if things don't end up as well as they did now? I mean, God willing, I mean, we don't even think about that option. What if it goes the other direction? I never even thought about it not working out as well. What if it doesn't? So I began to think about this, like, hardcore, like, the last couple of years. And then I would say I ponder this maybe once every 2 weeks. And when I get really sentimental, when people text me, I start texting them stuff like, would you go back in the past if you knew the stuff you know now? And it's interesting, the answers you get from people, okay? You get answers from folks that are extremely happy in their life right now and extremely unhappy and everything in between. And the responses are very interesting, and it tells you a lot, and it's something you might ask a friend of yours, somebody you want to know a little bit more about. It really goes far into showing where they are in their life right now, illuminating it. And it's easier for you to recognize and understand as well, because it is a question that most of us have thought about. It is a pondering that most of us have pondered. So the other day I began to think, we like to go back in the past to make right what was wrong, but let's just say that the time machine doesn't exist in my studio today. Let's just say that. And so there really isn't an option right now to go back and have the knowledge you have right now. Is there anything you can do right now in your life instead of having to go backwards into the past? Is there something you can do or some things you can do right now to better your life forever without having to get into the spaceship, the time machine, without having to come up here to the studio and jump in and take your ticket? And sadly enough, yeah, I don't have a time machine in the studio right now, so I don't want to lead you down the primrose path. So I guess that option right now is out. So instead of pondering this question further, what can we do right now? What can we do right now to right the wrongs in our life? What can we do right now to better our life forever? What can be done? And the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this is that anybody that you've done wrong and you feel bad about it, apologize. And I know some of you might say, well, how do I find so-and-so, back from freshman year of college? I've thought about that for how many years now? How do I apologize or make right what happened? Go find them. And I don't mean go hunt them down and find them. I'm talking about go online to Facebook, go online to Google, look at LinkedIn. You will find them for the most part. There are some people you might not find. There's a girl that went to elementary school with me, and I had thought I had found her on Facebook, but apparently it wasn't. And it wasn't righting a wrong. It was just wanting to say, hey, I ran across some pictures of us when we were little kids and you left the school that we were at like the year after. And I just wanted to give you a copy of these and just see how you're doing. But I can't find her. And so there will be some people that you won't be able to find. And that kind of sucks. But for the most part, you will find people. For the most part, you can find them. And if you owe an apology or want to make right the wrongs, say it. Put it out there. I mean, the worst they can say is, hey, I don't want to listen to you or I'm not going to accept your apology. But how often is that going to happen? Really? I mean, probably the worst that they could say is, I don't even remember what you're talking about. I don't even remember that happening. And that's when you go, hey, that's fine. I just want to apologize anyway. And I really am happy that your life is great, whatever. Think about that. Think about how effective that could be. And you don't have to go to the past to make it happen. You can do it right now. When I return, I'll be talking more about the things you can do in your life right now to right the wrongs without having to get in the time machine with me at the studio with a machine that I don't have right yet. In the meantime, let's talk about being happier and healthier. And I think it's time to talk to Sherry Lee White. Joining me in studio is the founder and CEO of Truly Foods, Sherry Lee White, to share her weekly wellness tip based on research that's helped her heal herself naturally from a debilitating autoimmune disease and clinical depression.
Ashley, thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited to be here with you on Live Your True Life Perspective.
I'm so glad to have you in the studio, Sherry. So let's talk about, what is your tip today to help us be more healthy and happier?
Well, you surely heard the phrase that laughter is the best medicine.
I have, and I like taking that medicine.
It's a good medicine to take. Funny enough, research shows these claims shouldn't be taken lightly. Numerous studies have shown the physical and mental health benefits of laughter. A lot of this research began after Dr. Norman Cousins experienced a laughter recovery from a fatal illness, claiming just 10 minutes of laughter per day resulted in major positive benefits. Some of the benefits of laughter include lowering blood pressure, strengthening the immune system, improving cardiac health, and we even get a little ab workout out of it. On the mood side of things, dopamine and endorphins are released when we laugh, making us feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
That's awesome. I love laughing, though. It's my favorite.
It just feels good, right?
Yeah.
So today's one-minute wellness takeaway is to go ahead and indulge in a guilt-free minute of funny YouTube video clips, or just make yourself laugh until you cry with your silliest friends.
Well, I'll try to make y'all laugh on this show after this tip.
I know you do a great job of it. Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
Thanks for coming on, Sherry, and I look forward to seeing you next week in the studio. Laughter really is the best medicine, and I'm always thankful for Sherry Lee White coming into the studio to offer us tips that we can take right now to make our life better. While I plan on making you laugh a little more here in the next segment, stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, be back in. Yeah, I'll be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking about going back in time, righting the wrongs, having the wisdom and the knowledge that you have now, and go back and make those changes to your past. And how a lot of us would have to leave certain things behind. Our lives could change forever. We would not really know the impact of changing the past until later on down the road. And fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have a time traveling device in studio like I had referred to earlier. And no, I did not lie, but I was offering the option that if I did have it, would you go? And so right now, because the technology, well, I don't have the technology personally, we're going to have to defer to another thought process of how to right the wrongs in our life and make the best of what we have right now. Because I think a lot of times in life, we want to go back to the past to do what's right, to overcome some things that happened, to make better decisions, those sort of things. And the first thing is, you know, to right those wrongs. Anybody that we've wronged in our past, and like what I was talking about right before the break, is to reach out to those people that you would like to apologize to. And I know some of you might say, well, I've been looking for them, or I can't find them, and I've looked, you know, high and low. I've been on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, every single thing, Google, anything, and I can't find them. Well, if you work that hard to try to find them, I ask you right now to begin to think about forgiving yourself in the situation. You know, a lot of times we don't realize that, yes, we might have been the one that did the wrong, but we're also holding something over our own head, meaning we need to forgive ourselves for our involvement in the situation and work to be better. If you can find that person, reach out to them. I know they'll want to hear from you. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff to be able to sit there and say, hey, I apologize, whether it happened in high school or middle school or college or whenever. Hey, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I just want to, you know, just let you know how much I apologize, and I wish I could take that back. And, you know, I think the worst thing that somebody could say is, you know, I don't even remember that happening, you know? And if that's the worst, I mean, that's pretty good, but at least it's off your chest and you can move on. I think the second thing that people would want to go back into the past for is to let people know how they felt or feel about them. I think a lot of times we just assume that people understand where we are or know how we feel about them. And they really don't. They really don't. They can't mind read. And maybe they might have an idea, but it sure goes a long way when you tell them. Because there's no more guessing or wondering. It's like, hey, they really care. And they made it very obvious to me that they really care. And I think that's a big deal. And I think we can't always go back and tell people now because it might be weird, but we can make changes now from today on to always be forthcoming with our feelings, with our emotions, with how we feel about other people. and not just assume that they know. And it's nice to know that you're cared about and loved. And it doesn't make you look vulnerable. It actually makes you more powerful. When you're able to tell somebody, hey, I love you and I care about you. And I'm not talking about like the romantic, I want to have sex with you and stuff like that. I'm talking about I care about you. Because, you know, the whole idea of life is to love everybody, to love yourself, and to have this altruistic love and to be able to say it, voice it, and feel it. And the more you voice it and feel it, no matter if that other person goes, oh, wait a second, what does that mean? When you're able to voice it and be honest about it, it powers you up because it also shows that you love yourself. And it doesn't matter how it sounds, and it doesn't matter how they take it, because when they understand how to love themselves, like honestly love themselves, you know, like care about themselves, accept who they are for all the quote-unquote flaws that they have, all that stuff, and they see how amazing they are, they'll begin to see, and not in a narcissistic way, but in a real, altruistic, authentic, godly way, then they'll be able to see that within you. And when you say, hey, I love you and I care about you, they're not going to go, oh man, hey, back it up, slow it down. It's going to be more like, wow, thank you. That's awesome. And so to begin to let more people know now how you feel about them, where they stand. You know, even being honest when some people are screwing up. I mean, don't be rude about it, but, you know, tell them. They deserve to know. And I know you have to be very tactful and kind of smart about this, but there's a few people that I need to kind of acknowledge in this situation too. And you got to be tactful and smart, but it can only better them in the future. But, you know, on the other side of that, it means caring about them enough to want to help. And do you have that relationship? And I think that if you really truly love yourself and you care about yourself, you will go that extra mile to help other folks. And even in some situations, education, really. Educating other people to understand and to see things they might not see with their current perspective. You know, the next thing that you can do is to make clear misunderstandings and be the leader. To clear up misunderstandings and be the leader. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have in relationships, one of the biggest barriers we have in relationships are misunderstandings. And those misunderstandings can get in our way every second. And once a misunderstanding takes place in a relationship, it's hard to repair it. Because oftentimes, one person doesn't want to hear it anymore. They've completely cut you out. There is no more conversation. And so you really can't right the wrong. However you can. And you don't need a time-traveling device to do it. And that is to meet in person with anybody you can that you have had a misunderstanding with and put it out on the table. They might not see your side. They might not want to see the truth. But the thing about life is when you do the right thing, step into the lead, and be honest and authentic, only good stuff can come to you. Okay? Only good stuff can come to you. And trying to illuminate a misunderstanding and show the factual evidence and explain honestly and tactfully what's going on goes a long way, no matter what side you are in that misunderstanding. Because when we try to right these wrongs, whether it's with family or friends or whatever, we're doing the right thing because we care enough about the relationship to step up to the plate and make the changes. The next thing is to take the first step. Take the first step in your life. And remember, you are in the position of power in your life to stop deferring to others to tell you what to do. Only you honestly know your life path. Other people can suspect it, have an idea about it, or put their life path on you, but that is not your life path. Your life path is yours. And so when you defer your judgment about your life and allow other people to make decisions or to ask them questions about your life, you put your life on hold and you allow them to get into the leadership role to be at full solid command. And you know best what you need in your life. And I know you know, and I want you to make that right decision for yourself instead of having other people step into the power position in your life. and you don't need a time travel device to do it. You're listening to The Sports Perspective with Ashley
and Owen.
So, Owen, let's talk about the latest narcissist in the NBA.
LeVar freaking Ball.
So who is LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball is the father of the three most popular basketball sons in America. Lonzo Ball, LiAngelo Ball, and LaMelo Ball.
So tell me, who is the biggest NBA deal? Who's going to bid the highest draft?
Well, it's easily Lonzo Ball because he's going number two to the Lakers. He is at an age of 19.6. He's 6'6". He is has a wingspan of 6'7". He is weighing in at 190. He's averaged his whole career at UCLA 14.6 points, 6 rebounds, 7.6 assists, and a 25 PER.
What is a PER?
PER stands for Player Efficiency Rating, and it's based off of how much effort he puts in per minute.
That's interesting. Okay, so he's pretty highly rated. Now, did his dad play basketball as well?
His dad played basketball for Washington State, and he actually played football for a little bit.
So didn't he go around telling people recently that he could beat some like big time NBA players?
And I think that was Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan.
So he was telling everybody that he could beat them in a game?
Yep, with a stranger. Just a complete stranger.
That's why I'm saying complete narcissist.
Yeah, complete narcissist.
So he's got three kids that he's the father of, and he started a company called what? BBB. What does that stand for?
Big Baller Brand.
Big Baller Brand. What's that?
Big Baller Brand is the website to buy all of his merchandise for his kids. And guess what? They're basically complete copies of Nike and Adidas.
What's the most expensive item on that?
The most expensive item is the $1,000 signature Lonzo Ball ZO2s signed by Lonzo Ball himself.
Doesn't that look a little bit like Nike, though? I mean, for $1,000, I mean, really?
Yeah, it looks exactly like the Kobe 11s, in my opinion. But not color-wise, but design-wise, they're exactly the same. So, whatever you do, do not buy Big Baller Brand.
What do you think about that sandal?
Oh, the sandal? There is a sandal, $220, weighing at $220.
$220?
$220 for sandals. And Nike has basically the same pair of sandals for $20.
Oh,
$20.
That's insane.
That's $200 difference. Who would want to buy that?
So speaking of the NBA, what's going on with the Mavericks? I know that we have some possible draft opportunities up there. What's up with that, Owen?
So our draft opportunities are easily Dennis Smith, who is, in my case, a beast for the Mavericks. He weighs in at 195. He has averaged 18.1 points, 4.6 rebounds, 6.2 assists, and averages a 23.4 PER. Not the best, but I think he kind of reminds me of Lonzo Ball.
What about Justin Jackson?
Justin Jackson? Oh, that kid's a beast. He led his team to the national championship and got revenge by winning against the Gonzaga Bulldogs. 4.7 rebounds, 2.8 assists, and 21.7 PER. Not the best PER, but I think it gets it done.
In your best opinion, what do you think that the Mavericks need this year to be better? Honestly?
I think we either need a center or a guard. And I think we get both out of that from, I think we get both out of that from Jonathan Isaac. Because Jonathan Isaac can be a small forward or a power forward. But if he turns into a shooting guard, he'll just bully dudes in the paint, I'll tell you. Ashley, he will bully people in the paint.
You think so?
Because if he's a shooting guard, he'll be 6'11". He'll be so oversized that he'll just go into the paint and beat up everyone.
I wish I was 6'11".
Yeah, I wish I was 6'11", too, because we're short.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be more fun?
Yeah, that would be way more fun. Just like,
you know, if we were 6'11", we'd want to be short,
though. Yeah, we'd just be like dunking on everyone.
But a woman 6'11", not so cool.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like, you know, you got to duck down when you go into places and stuff like that. I was hoping you were going to get me that t-shirt, though, on the BBB website there. What is it? Stay in your lane?
Stay in your lane. Tank top.
Yeah.
$60 gold foil.
It's only $60, Owen.
Only 60?
Yeah.
I'll go buy it for you.
Aw. Owen, last but not least, what do you think is going to boost the NBA ratings this season?
I think the NBA ratings are going to get higher. Just saying, they dropped 15%. I think Markelle Fultz going to the Celtics and Lonzo Ball going to the Lakers will boost NBA ratings because Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz admitted in the NBA lottery that they were born enemies. When they started competing in college, they were sort of back and forth about this, but they admitted on national television that they are enemies or rivals.
So there's a rivalry that we've created here.
Yes. And them going, and Markelle Fultz going to the Celtics and Lonzo Ball going to the Lakers, which are enemies because of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. I sort of see that, don't you?
I see it too.
If they go to the opposite teams, this will definitely boost NBA ratings and it'll cause more people to want to watch the Lakers and want to watch the Celtics.
I agree with you, Owen. So next time, until the next Sports Perspective, I look forward to having you in the studio.
Yeah, and I look forward to buying you some big baller brand.
I love it, Owen. So that's here for the Sports Perspective with Ashley.
And Owen.
We'll be back next time. Take care.
Bye.
And live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back this time. We'll be back this time in three shakes.